Hello, everyone. Welcome to the call today. My name is Kurt Mortensen. This is the Persuasion Influence call, and we are part four of a four-part series. So the way the call works, we're going to spend 15, 20 minutes on a tool that you can apply in the next week, something that you can use, and then we'll open up for any questions you have about the call or anything about persuasion, influence, negotiation in general. Be happy to handle those as we get towards the end of the call. And of course, if you want to break in with any question what we're talking about, you're more than welcome to do that. It also is recorded and posted on persuasioniq.com/KurtCall, KurtCall. They post, I think, about 2-3 weeks at a time. So give them about 3 or 4 days to post the latest call, but they'll post it, and that's where you get them. You can download them as MP3s and listen to them and review them if you want to. All right, so what we've been doing over the last 4 weeks, if you're just joining us, is we've been talking about change, and it didn't matter if you wanted to change something in your life or change someone's opinion or change someone to use your product or change someone's mind about network marketing or change someone's attitude about their home going to foreclosure. Great persuaders are change agents. They can change people. They can influence people the way they think, the way they feel. They can change their perceptions about the product or service they're using or the product or service they should use or about the company you want them to join. It's all about change. You know, we're creatures of habits many times, and we resist change. And many times we resist change because we don't know where it's taking us. In the corporate world, if you get the big rah-rah speech, most people don't change at the flavor of the month because they don't know, you know, the effort they have to put in. They don't know where it's going to take them. And that's a big piece of what we'll be talking about today. So to review the 4 points we've talked about, the first one was motivation. I have to have the motivation to change. Otherwise, it'll be very temporary. It'll be a quick alteration. You have to have the knowledge or the tools. That's number two, the knowledge or the tools to be able to change. Three, we talked about last week, was understanding fear. People, just the fear of the unknown, the fear of what it'll take, the fear of what'll happen, holds a lot of people back. Just to remind you on that one, most people can handle their current pain because they know what it entails versus the unknown pain. So the known pain of a job you hate, you can endure it, you can handle it, versus the unknown pain of becoming an entrepreneur many times holds people back. So we talked about a few solutions there. Today we're going to talk about mindset, or better yet, mental programming. This is going to be key. Many people don't change because they can't see themselves doing it. They want it. It'd be great to lose 20 pounds. It'd be great to lose 30 pounds. It would be great to convert all my family and friends to a network marketing company. It'd be great to be an entrepreneur. It'd be great, fill in the blank. But deep down, they don't have the confidence. They just can't see themselves doing it, and that holds a lot of people back. In fact, most objections you get, it's too expensive, can't afford it, more information, are lies, because they can't see themselves doing what you're asking them to do. Join my network marketing company. They can't see themselves being successful by talking to their family and friends. It could be a foreclosure. It just seems too difficult doing it. That's why that's the fourth principle of change, understanding mental programming, because the universe will not reward you physically until you believe it mentally, and that's what holds most people back. It sounds great, but they just can't see themselves doing it. For example, if you were selling annual passes, let's say, to a up-and-coming water park, had all the slides, it was incredible, and you were selling them really cheap, $20, let's say, for the whole year, and it was a no-brainer, some people would say no. Now, you could go on, it's a great value, do it for your family, it's a lot of fun, it's really safe. That's what people tend to vomit, the features and benefits. But the reality is, if you dig deeper with, it could be anyway, anything that you're doing, your product or service, at the water park, it could be something like they don't want to be seen in a swimsuit. Maybe it goes back to something that happened in the water, fear of the water, those type of things, where they can't see themselves using it. They can't get past that fear we talked about last week to get be able to do that. That is key. So when you great persuaders, when we talked about story selling before, when they talk about their product or service, it comes alive. The person can see themselves doing it. That's why stories tend to persuade without detection, because when you tell a story, they put themselves in there. If you want to get someone to change and they have a fear of snakes or a fear of dogs, watching a video of other people playing with dogs, making it more realistic for them, telling me a story about it goes a long way. But there's three real aspects to really get your mental programming and the person you're talking to really get them thinking about your product, your service, your idea. Remember, this change, part 404 we're talking about today, is for you personally, or it's for the people you're attempting to persuade and influence. So these things can help or hurt you in the world of persuasion. And let's talk about that self-persuasion aspect a little bit. One thing that holds a lot of people back are their thoughts. Most people don't even realize that they're having negative thoughts, and the reality is studies show that about 90% of your thoughts are very negative. Why it won't work, why you're going to fail, what if it won't work. And some people say, well, that's stinking thinking. You shouldn't think that way. But the reality is no matter who you are, you're going to have negative thoughts. That's reality. And you can't really control your thoughts, but you can redirect your thoughts. I mean, here's the difference between a very successful person and an unsuccessful person is when an unsuccessful person has a negative thought, they dwell on it. They think about what if that does happen, what can I do about it, and they just give that negative thought a place to grow. A successful person just redirects. They think about something else. They don't give it a place to grow. Thoughts are very powerful because if you're taking notes, just write down the word T-E-A, just like the drink. It's your thoughts control your emotions control your actions. So to change your future, you have to change your thoughts. Change your thoughts about success, to change your thoughts about the product or service or whatever it is, that is critical. Let's take a personal example here. And this is also true with especially newer type product or services where they're not sure how to use it or what to do with it. But let's do a personal example. A lot of people have been on a diet, or they know someone who's been on a diet. That would probably take care of everybody on the call. The challenge is when you get on a diet, you don't tend to control your thoughts. And so let's say your favorite thing is French fries. And you know you shouldn't eat them. You know they're full of grease. You know they're bad for you. You know they don't have much nutritional value, but you're sitting there thinking, oh, French fries, they're warm and they're salty and get them in a little ketchup and they taste so good, and you give that thought a place to grow, and it keeps growing and growing, and ultimately you will fail. And because you're just giving that thought a place to grow, you have to change the way you think about food. You have to get your prospect to change the way they think about doing network marketing. You have to change the way they think about your product or service. I can fix you French fries. That's easy. Go to a fast food restaurant, get the extra supersize order of fries, put them out on a little plate, the little tray. You look at them for a little second, and all you have to do is you just pick them up with your hand. Pick up a whole fistful of fries, hold them above your head, and just start squeezing. And you'll see the yellow lard that's clogging your heart start to drip down your arm onto the floor. You're going to see that pulpy mass that's killing you squeeze between your fingers, and you're going to see it drip on the floor, that grease. Now, I'm going to stop there. I don't know if it's dinner time for you or not, but if you think about things differently like that, it'll change your whole world, your whole perspective, and it won't tempt you anymore. That's what successful persuaders are able to do, either if it's self-persuasion or working with other people. So thoughts, you got to be very careful what their thoughts are. The big one with this, too, is understanding vision. How do they see themselves in the future? Do they see themselves using their product or service? Now, on a personal note, with change, vision, more than anything else, will dictate your day-to-day decisions. Can you really see yourself being successful? Can you really see yourself being skinny? Can you really see yourself, and this is where you'd fill in the blank, and when you think about it, does it excite you or does it worry you? And there's a big difference between vision and worry. See, a lot of times your prospects will worry about what if this happens, what if it doesn't work out, what if it breaks down, what if they're not telling me the truth, what if the guarantee's not true. They're thinking about those things. Now, on a personal note, if you have a personal goal, here's the reality, is that if you're the type of person that tends to worry a lot, it's because your vision's not strong enough. Let me repeat that. If you tend to worry, which is negative goal setting, about this and what if this happens, what if this goes wrong, if you're always stuck on worry, what that means is your vision's not strong enough. What that means is you really can't see yourself. You really don't have the confidence or the faith or the courage to really think that you can pull it off. Now, for your prospect, that's the same thing. If they keep are in worry mode, well, what if this happens, or what if it breaks down, or what about this? The bottom line there is they can't see themselves doing what you're asking them to do. And you need to shift gears with a few more stories. You need to shift gears with asking more questions. You need to shift gears as far as helping them sense and feel that they can do what you're asking them to do. Very simple but important concept. The difference between vision and worry. And you can tell when they get in that mode where they're worried about it. What about this? What if this happens? I get it home? What if it gets damaged? Oh, what if I can't restore my credit? What if the marketing program doesn't work for me? And you can fill in the blank for your product or service. All those things you got to focus on. So the first one we talked about was, you know, thoughts. Understand that most people's thoughts are generally very negative. And great persuaders tend to be very, very optimistic and have the ability to get people to think more optimistic, because when people are in a pessimistic mindset, they are much harder to persuade. So if you think their thoughts are an issue, try to be a little more positive, because it is contagious. Number two, get them to see themselves using it, having that vision, getting out of worry. Best one there is a story. Everyone should always have a relevant story ready. We'll have someone that's similar to their current situation. They were skeptical, too. They were worried about this, too, but this is what happened. This is the success. Here's the income. This is how much money they made. It goes a long, long way. The last one is tapping into their belief systems. Everyone has different beliefs. We have some very good beliefs. We have some very bad. We have bad beliefs. We have some strange beliefs. Friday the 13th, black cats. Stepping under a ladder, face will freeze that way, and we have some very limiting beliefs. And when people resist change, again, this is, can be in your personal life or somebody else, usually what it's indicating a lot of times is there's a conflicting belief. All of us have conflicting beliefs. Let me give you an example. If a 747 was flying into LA, LAX, and two control towers were telling it what to do, obviously, it would probably end up in a disaster. If you shot a torpedo and it had two guidance systems telling it what to do, it would never hit the mark. So what happens, you go to your personal life, if you want to be financially independent and it's not happening for you, a lot of times that's an indicator of conflicting beliefs. It could be something like you want to be financially independent and give back to charities, one belief, and then you have another belief given to you by society or by your parents of money's the root of all evil. Now, I know that those don't conflict in reality, but because the way many people grew up, those do conflict. Maybe you want to be an entrepreneur, but deep down you have a belief. You might not even be aware of this, that, well, you have to work for a large company because that's job security and they'll take care of you and insurance. And again, that's not true, but it could be true for you. So when you're talking to someone, let's say network marketing, you're trying to get them to have their own business, even if it sounds exciting to them and part of them wants to do it, they feel uncomfortable because they still have a belief they haven't been able to identify. And that's the most part with the conflicting beliefs, is just identifying it. And the way you do that is just keep asking questions, and they're going to kind of figure it out on their own. That's what great persuaders do. You help people persuade themselves by asking questions. But that does hold a lot of people back, especially if you're doing real estate with people and they want to be wealthy, but they don't think you do it. Somebody has a belief that it takes money to make money, but then all of a sudden you're doing nothing down real estate. You have people have the restricting beliefs of either or. And wealthy people, it's both. Some people have the belief you have to cut back, but they want to make more. And so there's conflicting beliefs there, and it's very restricting to people when we talk about change. So to kind of review there, to understand how that works, if you really want to program them mentally, because if they can't see themselves doing it, it doesn't matter if you have the best product or service. It doesn't matter if you can save their home. It doesn't. They have to be able to see themselves doing it. And that comes through their thoughts. That comes through vision, being able to really taste it, touch it, and feel it mentally. And sometimes it's their beliefs that will hold them back. And you can find out their beliefs by asking questions. You can change their vision by telling stories. And you can redirect their thoughts many times by being a little more optimistic. Because face it, we're creatures of habit. In fact, 90% of our behaviors are habits. We just keep doing them over and over again. Sometimes we don't even know why we do them. Think of that, 90% are habits. And we don't see them coming. The challenge with habits is it takes time for the consequences of those habits to show up. That is a big, big issue. Doesn't the habit of not paying off your credit card bill completely every month might take 10 years to show up? You have a really big bill. The habit of eating an extra Snickers a month or a week might be an extra 10 pounds a year, which might be in 10 years, you know, you do the math. It takes time for those consequences to show up. And so some people say it takes 21 days to make a habit, but you can do something for 21 days and stop cold turkey. It's something you need to continue to reinforce. And so you need to look, are your habits good or are they bad? Because you have a little bit of both. And you just pick them up along the way. I mean, back to the French fry example, imagine if you sat down to eat, well, if you do hamburgers this time, if you ate a hamburger and every time you took a bite, you feel a little bulge come out of your midsection, and it grew a little bit, and then you took another bite, and your rear end instantly got bigger, it would be very easy never to eat hamburgers again. But that's not kind of how it works, and that's true with addictive behaviors. That's true with weight gain. That's true with getting in deep into debt. A lot of times it's a little bit here, a little bit here, and to understand human nature and habits. So people will resist you unless you add these four elements. You want to change somebody's mind, change somebody's opinion, it will go a long, long way. So to review and to recap, motivation, number one, number two is the knowledge or tools, number three is fear, and number four, we called it mental programming. So this is what I want you to do this week. When you're talking to somebody about your product, your service, or idea, and they start getting a worrying about what about this and what if it doesn't work out, what if it's a pyramid scheme or what if I can't save my house, whatever it is, if you sense they're in worry mode, and worry is just a form of fear, they're worried about something, it's again because they can't see themselves doing it, there's something wrong there. What I want you to do is come up with a relevant story, a powerful story of somebody who was similar to them, who had the same concerns, but they went and did it anyway, and this is what happened, and here's the success story. So think two things. Think of a story this week. Practice telling it, because that's a big part of it. Just because you have a great story doesn't mean it comes across as a great story. So tell the story when you sense the worry, get into vision, and paint the picture in such a way that they can see themselves doing what you're asking them to do. All right, so try that out this week. With that being said, let us open us up for questions and about what today's call or anything that's on your mind. Go ahead. Any questions out there? We got one coming in here via email talking about motivation, worry, and fear. We just kind of explained, we talked about motivation, that the two main motivators in life were either inspiration or desperation. And worry could be a form of desperation, and the question goes into, you know, how do you know when somebody's worried? Well, worry tends to be very negative. I mentioned it's negative goal setting. And so they're going to assume nothing's going to work out, something's going to go wrong. That could be part of your credibility or trust, and that's a whole other session. But a lot of it is just can't see themselves doing it. So the more you can get a great story, paint the picture, it'll make a big difference. So the way you tell worry is they're trying to move away from something. They are getting very pessimistic. They pretty much assume the worst. That's a great time for storage. If you tell them, well, you shouldn't worry about that, or, well, that'll never happen, or, well, yeah, well, you shouldn't even be thinking about that. It doesn't matter. They are. That's like telling a child that's crying, well, you shouldn't be crying. You shouldn't be sad. And they're like, I am sad. What do you mean I shouldn't be? We can say it all we want, but they are feeling that, and you have to deal with it. Great question. Next question. Questions out there? Here's one coming in about habits. I mentioned, here real fast. We talked about how long it takes. I mentioned 21 days. I mean, that's a great start for a habit. But reality, I haven't seen any concrete study as far as how long it takes, because a lot of people go to a fitness center for 2 or 3 months and stop all of a sudden. I think no matter where you're at in the process, any type of habit you have to tend to reinforce a little bit. And there's really no concrete study that I've seen as far as the exact amount of time. I think with any habit, whether you've done it for a year or 2 years, in a matter of weeks, you could stop doing it or something could happen, and it would become a non-habit. Again, you have some great habits you want to keep, and you have some other habits that you want to get rid of. Are they helping you, or are they hurting you? All right, good question. Next question. One coming here about negative thoughts. I know that's a high number, the negative thoughts. Most people kind of say, well, that's not me. That's other people that have negative thoughts. And if you've done this before, you're even welcome to try it. A lot of people put a rubber band around their wrist and snap themselves every time they have a negative thought. Okay? It's painful. Most people don't last more than a day or two, because that's kind of what society does. If you watch the news, it's pretty much all negative. It's just all around us. They had people sitting in the school lounges where the teachers talk about the students. 96% of what they said about the students was negative. I'm not saying that it's right. No one likes to be negative. It's just kind of how we're programmed, and that's how it is. So the big factor here is just being aware. And when you do have a negative thought, have a positive thought ready. Meaning, if you keep having a negative thought, I can never lose weight, I can never do it, and you know what's going to happen. You look at a picture of yourself when you were skinny, you look at a new swimsuit that you want to go in, you take a picture of Caribbean, because that's going to be you're going to go to the Caribbean when you lose a certain amount of pounds or whatever it is, goes a long way. But having a positive thought ready to roll and being aware is a big part of your success. Because remember, that changing yourself or changing other people is very, very similar. All right. Any other questions?
Yeah, we're new to the call. Can you repeat the website you mentioned at the very beginning? And also, you said successful people redirect their thoughts. You just touched on that. If you go on a little bit more about that, please.
You bet. The website for the replay lines is Persuasion, P-R-S-U-A-S-A-O-N, PersuasionIQ.com/KurtCall, K-U-R-T-C-A-L-L. Kurt Call is where the recordings will be posted. And about redirecting your thoughts. Again, the thing there is just being aware of your thoughts. Most people, when their thoughts is like, watching a ping pong game, they're like, wow, how did I start thinking about that? You look at the highest paid professions out there, they're the ones that think, they're the ones that can control their thoughts. They get paid to think. Most people just don't even want to think. They sit down and watch the TV or whatever, they don't think that much. So, again, being aware of when you're having a negative thought, I would say it's probably 90% of the battle here, because we're just not aware. We're just some thoughts bouncing all over the place and really not sure what's happening. So the redirect is, A, being aware. Okay, let's see, talk about personal change. If I wanted to change my income and I knew that at times I would feel like, oh, it's taking too long or something's happening, when I have a negative thought like that, I would either think, say something positive, affirmations, work for many people, you know, I am a millionaire, or to think of their vision of their dream home or their dream car is a way to redirect that. And that's the thing you have to be aware with, and you have to be careful with affirmations, because if you're sitting on the couch or watching the movie Secret, which has some truth to it, but if you're sitting on the couch thinking you're the best and people like you and you're wealthy and you're not getting off the couch, that's a form of delusion, okay? There has to be an action plan with your daily affirmations. That's where a lot of people kind of miss the boat there. And if you say things, and I thought this was kind of hokey, you say, you know, I am a millionaire. And what happens is that you feel uncomfortable because you know it's not true. And people don't do it again because your conscious mind's fighting with your subconscious mind. But if you keep doing it with emotion, according to Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich, in the present tense, you say, I am a millionaire. And, of course, it has to be something positive. You wouldn't want to say, I don't want to go bankrupt. It has to be something positive in the present tense. And you do it with emotion. One day, whatever it is you want, you're going to say it, you know, 30, 40 times a day, whatever it is, if it works for you. It's going to feel real. When that happens, everything tends to fall into place for you. But most people quit doing it because it makes them feel uncomfortable. But it's because their conscious mind can be fighting with them. So you say, I'm a millionaire. Like, yeah, right. You? Since when do you think? Or whatever. You can fill in the blank better than I can. It's because people don't give it long enough to work. Good question. Any other questions? Got one. I'll take one more here. This is about worry and working in real estate and a foreclosure. Now, obviously, somebody's home that's going into foreclosure, there is some worry there. The best thing to do, of course, is to give them hope. Now, the challenge there is you need to crank the pain up a little bit. You know, what's going to happen if we don't do anything? That could happen. But you want to also give them a little hope, give them a little inspiration. Small bump in the road, it's not going to matter. Here in 5 years, restore your credit. That's the key in working that type of situation. Another good question. So again, this week, just to recap, I want you to get people out of worry by telling a relevant story. That is your goal. That's the tool you'll be working on this week. Thanks for being on the call. Thanks for listening to the replay line. And we will talk to you next week. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Derek.
You bet. Good night.